From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells.
Our next guest is Dr. Brittany Bussey, mental health expert and associate medical director at WorkCare. A new Gallup poll shows that America's mental health is at an all-new low since the last two decades. Along with this comes higher rates of suicide, drinking, and addiction. Dr. Bussey joins us this morning to talk with us about why this drop is so alarming and what Americans can do to keep themselves in a healthy mental state during the pandemic. Dr. Bussey, welcome to Cool Science Radio. So this is this is fascinating research, this Gallup poll. Can you tell us a little bit about it and tell us about what your role is at WorkCare?
Of course. So at WorkCare, I am the Associate Medical Director. I actually provide WorkCare's telemedicine services. And I've also been involved since the beginning of COVID-19 in working with our employers on how to protect employee mental health. So I've given several webinars to our employers and also to health and safety professionals to help them get their employees' mental health back online. We know that, you know, based on the Gallup poll that, as you've said, depression is increasing, anxiety is increasing in almost all groups across the board. People have been under an extreme amount of stress for a prolonged period of time due to COVID-19, as well as several other political factors in the United States. And this prolonged state of arousal and fear is actually increasing our psychological as well as physical morbidities. So, you know, depression, anxiety, PTSD up about 30%, calls to emergency hotlines up over 1,000%, suicide up about 10 to 11%, and substance abuse 13 to 20%, along with an increase in domestic violence. Again, another scary statistic there.
Yeah, one of the challenges about violence to children is that they're no longer in school in person, where teachers can keep an eye on them, or they are no longer necessarily out and about playing on the playground. So neighbors can't help out with that particular area. So the numbers on that particular category are a little skewed, aren't they?
Yes, definitely. And you would say the same for violence against women or interpersonal abuse as well. You see, as the numbers of substance abuse go up, as people try to go to unhealthy coping mechanisms for stress, that's going to increase violence against other people. We also see an increase in what we call mortality salience with the COVID pandemic. And that is people are more and more aware of death. And in Western cultures, we're not really comfortable with that. So researchers have shown that an increase in mortality salience actually does increase violence, especially in men.
Mm. Dr. Bussey, you know, even at the simplest levels and the most minute levels of anxiety and stress, and here's a for example that we've already experienced in the last 5 minutes, is that right now at the radio station there, you know, we're having some concerns. More and more of us are wanting to quarantine at home and broadcast through a variety of, you know, adaptations to our technology, and it's not perfect. And just even that, you know, those of us who spend a lot of time on Zoom meetings, when it goes awry, it's stressful. And that's just so simple, you know, in and of itself. And you can see how, you know, from not being able to get on your Zoom call all the way up to the possibility of eviction and dealing with the death of loved ones or COVID ourselves. It's very understandable.
Oh, yes, definitely. There are so many causes of acute stress right now during COVID. You know, like you said, concerns about meeting your basic needs, food, shelter, clothing, loss of sleep is a big one. Insomnia will actually play into stress and will further increase the strain on your body and your mental health. Job loss, financial worries, concerns about people's children. A lot of people might have a feeling of guilt. Maybe that they feel like they can't do enough to help others, or they feel guilty about going into their workplace thinking they might get themselves or a loved one sick. And a lot of grief right now, you know, people who have been lost, major life events that had to be changed or postponed, relationships that have been lost, whether that's in the workplace or significant interpersonal relationships. There is a lot of grief going on right now, and our bodies take that stress and process it all the same way. So that's going through our hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which increases our fight or flight response. And that fight or flight response has been activated to very high levels of threat. And each of those threats keeps adding up and adding up and adding up. And we're not getting the relief that we normally get. Our body's supposed to have these balance mechanisms that we get from interacting with other people, that we get from connecting with each other. Our rest, connect, and digest system usually balances this. And right now we're in such a high state, we're actually reaching the point of collapse. And that's very unhealthy for us, both mentally and physically.
Absolutely. You know, there's one little slogan that I've seen around town here in Park City that the county health department, for example, has erected these little signs that they just place all over, and they say, "We're all in this together." And I really feel like that is literally the only consolation, even though our country is divided on a number of other levels right now. We are in this COVID thing together. And every time I see one of those signs, I get sort of emotional because I think, well, that's true. That's one thing that we can grasp onto and say, we are in this together. And it helps. It really does. What else helps?
So again, that human connection is so important. So potentially reaching out to people around you that you haven't seen in a while, friends, especially coworkers, because like we said, there are those people who normally maybe went to school or went to work and they were seen there. People saw them, they knew that they had needs and they felt like they existed. And now they're at home, or maybe they're just in a meeting and they don't feel seen anymore. So I think it's really important to reach out to other people in a way that's friendly and collegial, and check in with people, ask people, hey, you know, this is what I'm going through. Be open and vulnerable and ask them, how do they feel? What's happening for them? And in that moment, that will actually increase the mental health of both people, the person being seen and the person being vulnerable and connecting with empathy with that person. We can also make sure that we're really taking care of ourselves, knowing that no matter what we're doing, that we're doing the absolute best we can under the circumstances, not making judgments about ourselves, and really being honest about how we feel is really important during this time. We also, you know, need to work on our work boundaries. So now that a lot of us are working from home, we have this tendency to create busy work and to just go through these exercises, and they don't really have a goal or an outcome. They're kind of meetings for meeting's sake. And so I think it's really important to get projects, to have a specified goal, and to have a process for ending your workday, especially if your workspace is encroaching on your living space. So how do you turn off your computer? How do you end your day? Maybe you could end it with some movement, again, really healthy, doing some Pilates, yoga, going for a walk outside, or just connecting at the end of the day on a non-work-related matter. Some kind of ritual for ending the day and creating that boundary there can be really helpful as work and life kind of cross over each other.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Dr. Brittany Bussey, mental health expert and associate medical director at WorkCare. So what we're talking about this morning is how people have been doing and how they've been rating their mental health since the COVID breakout in, I guess, a March timeframe up until now. There's also some data that's coming out, and I'm just going to cite a little research from Oxford Health Biomedical Research Center that gathered 62,354 records with people that had been diagnosed with COVID. So the people that actually get COVID, they found that 18% of patients were diagnosed with some kind of mental health issue in the 14 to the 90 days after their diagnosis. So there's, in addition to the lockdown, which is affecting us and everything about our work lives and our social lives, there's also this other evidence that's starting to emerge on people that actually get COVID. Do you know anything about that, Dr. Bussey?
Yeah, I've actually spoken to quite a few people about this over the past few days. And it's either they've been showing depression symptoms, anxiety symptoms, at the worst, psychotic symptoms. And some people are presenting with these hallucinations, delusions, even outside of having regular symptoms of COVID and testing positive for COVID. And they have no history of mental illness prior to this episode. So it's either coming months to weeks after or at the same time as the infection. And the thought mechanism of the mechanism on this is that we know that COVID does cause widespread inflammation throughout the body. We know this because the signs and symptoms are so varied. I mean, originally we thought it was a very simple upper respiratory illness that caused lung inflammation and runny nose, sore throat, coughing, and severe lung inflammation in the worst cases. What we see now is that the virus actually attacks the blood vessels, and it attacks the blood vessels all over the body, or it infiltrates into them. Attack is kind of a weird word for a virus, but it goes inside, and that's how it replicates itself. And the body reacts by becoming very, very hyperactive. And this hyperactivity of the body is what's leading to inflammation throughout the blood vessels. So at the lowest case, you have loss of sense of smell, which is inflammation of the nerves that respond to taste and smell in your body. At the highest levels of neurological inflammation, we're starting to see neurological disorders like anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, homicidal ideation, and overall psychotic symptoms, like I said, hallucinations. I talked to a few patients who later told me they were smelling garbage a few months after having COVID, and they couldn't figure out where the smell was coming from, or smelling a dirty ashtray was another one that I heard. So there's a lot of later effects that can come from COVID that we need to be aware of, that this isn't as simple as having a cold, getting over it, and going on with your life. There are a lot of things about our lifestyle and our body that leads to this overactivity of our immune system, whether we have other diseases at baseline that are breaking down our immune system, or those other stressors, like we talked about from this almost a year-long process of dealing with COVID and all the other societal stressors that we've had, our body and our immunity is breaking down. We need to start doing things to help that.
And Dr. Bussey, there's something else a little on the bizarre side that's reported by that Oxford Biomedical research that I cited earlier, and that is they're saying that people with pre-existing mental health conditions, specifically attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, bipolar disorder, depression, or schizophrenia, were 65% more likely to be diagnosed with COVID-19. Is that because the immune system is down if you have those disorders?
Yeah, so that's exactly what we're talking about here. And especially the medications often for those disorders do also play a role on your immune system. So like we talked about earlier, is each stress on our body will reduce our capacity to address a new stress. And that all plays into our immune system. So during a time where we have a mental health disorder, our body processes all stress the same way, whether that's a physical stress, injury or illness or a mental stressor, that all gets processed by our body the same way. It all goes through our hypothalamus to our pituitary, raises our adrenaline and raises our cortisol levels. And over time, that's going to decrease the immune system and not just decrease it in the way that we would say there's less ability to fight infections. It actually can unbalance our immune system. So we know that there's a large amount of autoimmune disease in the U.S. compared to other countries. And we're looking at COVID right now as almost an autoimmune disease. Our body sees the virus, and rather than just going out and fighting the virus, it actually turns on itself. It turns on its own cells that the virus has infiltrated. And we're not really sure why this is happening, but it seems to happen more commonly in people who have underlying medical and mental health conditions.
Wow, that's pretty frightening. Dr. Bussey, I wanted to go back to what you were saying just a moment ago, and actually yours is the most salient explanation of the mental health aspect of post-COVID that I have heard. I've heard other medical professionals talking about it and not really knowing how to explain it. But this notion of the inflammation throughout the blood vessels in our body makes a lot of sense to me. But let's take anxiety, for example. In a normal, you know, absent of any COVID exposure or anything like that, the average person that suffers from anxiety disorder, can you explain to us how that operates physiologically? Is that an inflammation of blood vessels that helps to create anxiety?
So how I would describe anxiety is it's like a pain for your brain. So your body, when something is wrong in your body responds with a pain signal and you take notice of that pain and you do something to correct what you're doing to stop the pain to make it go away. When you're exhibiting anxiety, which is a concern or worry about something and it's persisting, it's usually a sign from your brain that something is wrong, that there's something that you need to address. And your brain gets these signals usually from the survival mechanisms of your brain. So back in the day, we were very afraid of things that could kill us. You know, saber-toothed tigers, bears, things in our environment that were definitely going to kill us. And now our brain has switched over these survival mechanisms to things that might not necessarily kill us, but that could potentially affect our social relationships or other things that could separate us from the group. And we worry about those things and we have anxiety about them. And it's a way of trying to get us to maybe change that behavior or to reconnect us to ourselves and to the group. Prolonged and excessive worrying, something that we started to call anxiety disorder, in generalized worrying about a whole bunch of things that are out of our control, does increase our fight or flight response, again, by those exact same mechanisms. So we're very afraid, that's activating our brainstem, and that's leading to an outpouring of these chemicals in our brain that go all the way down to our adrenal glands, pump out a bunch of adrenaline and cortisol and keep us in this heightened threat state. And when we're in that threat state, the best thing to do is to learn how to seek safety, to go back to places in our life where we feel safe, where we feel seen, or to make that kind of safety for ourselves. We have to tone down that fight, flight, or freeze response, or else over the long term, we're going to end up in collapse. And collapse means like maybe your immune system becomes overreactive or it fails to work at all. Your cardiovascular system starts to collapse. In the end, it could actually kill you.
Wow.
If you just joined us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Dr. Brittany Bussey, mental health expert and associate medical director at WorkCare. And we're talking to her about how America's mental health is at a new low the last two decades since the COVID breakout. I'm sorry, Lynn, go ahead.
Okay. So this leads me to think a couple minutes ago, Dr. Bussey, you talked about how COVID is in some ways sort of an autoimmune disease. And I'm wondering then, if you already have an autoimmune disease, does this mean the effects of COVID are going to be bigger?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, we knew that from the beginning that any underlying illness could potentially lead to severe COVID. We know, though, that some people who are being treated for autoimmune disease, they're potentially on immune modulators or drugs that tone down the immune system or make it less effective. And this lowers the symptoms of their disease because it stops their immune system from attacking their own cells. These same immune modulators have been used against COVID. So when we heard about hydroxychloroquine having some kind of effect against COVID, it doesn't have an effect against the virus. What it has an effect against is the overactivity of the immune system, the same way that it's used in other diseases like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis. So the thought is there that if we tone down the immune system, we try to stop it from being overactivated, then you might have a less severe case of COVID. The problem with that is you don't necessarily want to tone down a normal immune system. It might react perfectly well, it will create antibodies, and then you won't get sick the next time. So we don't want to preemptively take things that are going to tone down our immune response. In most of our cases, our immune system works exactly the way it's supposed to be, and we should allow that system to work as it is. I guess another thing we haven't talked about is we're talking about the body's immune system, what we call the adaptive immune system, our white blood cells and our antibodies. We also have an innate immune system, which is our good bacteria in our gut and the bacteria that live with us all over our bodies, in our lungs. They're everywhere. There are actually more bacterial cells than there are human cells in our body. And we really need to be looking at ways to boost our innate immune system as well. Again, reducing stress is really important. Stress can negatively affect our immune system, and that actually has a feedback into our brains and puts us more at risk for anxiety and depression. So keeping ourselves in balance and in harmony with our environment is really important as well.
Dr. Bussey, according to the Gallup poll that you've been talking to us about, 76% of U.S. adults rate their mental health positively, but it represents a 9-point decline from 2019. Can you break that down for us by socioeconomic class, by political affiliation, maybe married versus single, age, for an example?
Yeah, I think that what we were seeing mainly with that Gallup poll, I think younger Americans actually were shown to have a poorer level of mental health. People of lower socioeconomic status and as well as minority races were having an effect on lower mental health overall. I know the Gallup poll did show that people who were affiliated with religions or attended religious services actually saw a boost in their mental health, and I talked about that previously. Again, we're going back to where is the connection in our life? You know, are we able to find connection? Are we able to find purpose and meaning in our life? And that would lead to a boost in our overall psychological health. But right now, you know, especially young people, they're feeling disenfranchised, they're feeling cut off. People of different races are feeling, you know, rightly so, you know, persecuted and cut off. And, you know, especially in Asian communities, they were feeling very persecuted during COVID, as many people started to act violently towards them, you know, being told that this is a Chinese virus. People of Asian descent felt like there was a huge amount of prejudice coming towards them during this time. So they're mental health is, of course, declining. The more stressors that you're under during this time, the more likely you are to lose your job or to be affected financially, you know, like younger, lower socioeconomic classes, the worse your mental health is going to be.
Yeah, my daughter is adopted from South Korea, and she was at her mother's house in Maine running on the road, and somebody slowed down and stopped, rolled down the window and yelled, "Go home. We don't need you here." So there's some people that are out there. I wanted to ask you, you talk to a lot of people, you have patients, you're always looking at research. This is your business. This is what you do. What has most surprised you since COVID?
That's a really good question. I think what most surprises me right now are probably two things. You know, one thing that really surprises me in a negative way, I would start with, is the amount of animosity that people have towards healthcare workers and the healthcare system in general. There's this information that people are receiving that healthcare workers or the healthcare system is somehow, you know, caused this or is inflaming this or is somehow attacking them. And I've gotten a lot of negative feedback from people as a healthcare worker. But on the positive side, I've also gotten a lot of positive feedback from people, you know, a lot of thank you, a lot of gratitude. People are happy that there is somebody there who cares about them and their health. And on the positive side, what surprises me, you know, is what surprises me about people in general is that we are able to transcend so much. We can tolerate these huge changes and shifts in our habitual way of doing things, and we're able to develop these new norms in relation to all kinds of situations. And so many people are finding ways to cope in a healthy manner. They're finding new outlets for creativity, creating new businesses. I think that there are a lot of positive things that are happening in the past year. And so many of us, you know, we are here, we're listening to this. you know, I think that anyone listening to this could find something in their life over the past year to be grateful for. And that's a powerful thing. Gratitude's a powerful thing. And that really would help overall the mental stress if we could find one thing every day to just be thankful for.
We very much enjoyed this conversation, and we would love to have you back on the program. And maybe after the vaccinations are well underway, we can even have a positive update to all of this, hopefully. Dr. Brittany Bussey is a mental health expert and an associate medical director at WorkCare. Dr. Bussey, thanks so much for joining us on Cool Science Radio.
Thank you. Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us, give us a 5, and leave us a comment.
Take us along on your next adventure to the moon.
If you have any story ideas, please let us know at coolscienceradio@kpcw.org.
Thanks for listening, and hey, tune in next week.